It's Hypnotized with Bill and Nikki, live from coast to coast. Just sit back for a spell, put your conscious mind on cruise, and let your unconscious come out to play.
And I have a special guest with me, and we'll get to her in just a moment. You're listening to Hypnotize with Bill and Nikki, and during this show, if you'd like to call in the U.S., the telephone number is 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. If you're calling from Canada, it's 888-815-9756. You can also reach us at bbsradio.com and by visiting our website at bill-nikki.com. That's bill-nikki.com. Nikki is N-I-K-K-I. Let's see. Last week, we had Christopher Scott on. Christopher Scott is a psychic friend of ours, and you guys learned a lot from that. He has been around for a while, and he's been working in the southern states and also in the Ohio area and the eastern states. So if you can reach him through our website at bill-nikki.com, and every show that we do, you can also reach the contact people at bill-nikki.com. Now today, we have Mindy Wallenberg, and Mindy I've known for about 3 years now, and she is from, when I met her, in Columbus, Ohio, and she is a life coach that I know she builds herself in a different way. So Mindy, are you there?
Yes, I am, Bill. How are you doing?
I'm all right. Have you ever done any interviews on the radio before?
No, not really.
Okay, so Mindy's a radio virgin, so she'd be here, so we'll be nice to her. Mindy, I asked earlier today for a few, like a bio, and I have it sitting in front of me, but what I'd like to do is have you go through, I guess, how did you get to where you're at right now? Being a coach, not physically where you're at, but what have you been in the past, and what drew you to the coaching industry?
Okay, well, that's a good question, one that a lot of people ask me. I've always been interested in psychology and what makes people tick and what makes people do the things they do. But more importantly is what makes people fail to do what they really want to do. So I've always been gravitating towards the psychology section and self-help sections my whole entire life. My idea of a good time was to hang out in those sections. My kids thought I was totally crazy, but that's what interested me. So at one time I was going to be a psychologist. And the more I learned about it, I guess I just didn't want to spend a lot of my time going into the past. So when I heard about the coaching profession, it really intrigued me because I am the kind of person that if there's something going on and it's not exactly the way I want it, then I'm going to change it. So I was really drawn to coaching because that's basically what coaching is all about. It's to take healthy, functional people who want to be extraordinary, to reach those unbelievable heights and to accomplish things they never thought they could do before. And if you're one of those people that are listening out there, then coaching is for you.
Yeah, I have to agree. When I first got into hypnosis, when people think of, I've built myself ever since the early 90s as a life coach. And the term was really coined by Tony Robbins back in the early 90s because Tony is a hypnotist, but he never calls himself that. He's also a very good neurolinguistic programming practitioner, NLP. And nobody really understood what that was, and Tony came out with his own thing, which is neuroassociative conditioning. And he is a life coach, and he's probably one of the best-known life coaches that are out there. And he's been doing it from the beginning. But when I first got into the coaching business, which it wasn't called that back in 89 and 90, and also the hypnosis, people called me for remedial things. They would call me for, I want to stop smoking, or I don't want to be fat anymore, or I bite my fingernails, I have this fear of heights and I have to fly. And so that's what they would call me for, and it's so much better in the coaching if you feel yourself as a coach. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that later on in the show. But you get to help people take something that they do well and you help them do it better. And I work in the areas of sports I do work with smoking and weight loss, that it's the way that you frame your whole conversation and your whole practice with those people, because you can always go to a hypnotist for weight loss, but it's really a lifestyle change. If you don't like make that lifestyle change and really condition, help the person condition themselves, then they're going to go back and they're going to gain the weight back plus interest. So when Mindy says that, you know, she wants to help people improve on what they already do, that really comes from where I come from also. So Mindy, what you've worked with people, I know you've worked with dogs in the past, but I know you've also worked with people, so you know, how does it all come into play with what you're doing now?
Well, what I'm doing now is I'm actually trying to help women and girls in particular to empower themselves. I know a lot of midlife women and maybe even some teenage girls that feel like someone else is running their life, that things aren't going exactly the way they want it to because they are listening to what everybody else wants them to do, because by nature, women are people pleasers, or they're, you know, nurturers. They just want to make everybody else happy. But what, that's all in good, but once you get to a certain point, then you look at your life and you go, you know, where am I? You know, what am I doing that at the end of my life I can say that I actually lived it the way that I wanted to live? And that's not to say that you're going to make such drastic changes in your personal life that you kind of drop people along the way. It's just taking notice of yourself and saying, you know, am I living up to my values, or am I going through life just, you know, going by what everyone else thinks that I should be doing?
That's a good point.
I
didn't mean to interrupt you, but that's a good point. And that's the Nikki just came up with a program and put it together and designed it, and we're actually going to be starting this in June or September, one of the two, at a local hospital. And it's called Dating After Divorce. And we run in the way that this came out is we were asked to speak at a matchmaking group. It was two ladies who ran a dating/matchmaking, and they had a group of men, they had a group of women, and I actually spoke at the group of women. And there were probably about 25 to 30 women there, and they were mostly divorced women. And they have, what we found was they have their identity is the family. For so long, they haven't really thought about themselves. They thought about their kids, which is important, and they thought about their husbands, and they lived with their husbands, which is important, too. I know, you know, Nikki, I live for Nikki, but at the same time, I also have my own identity, and these women we were talking to did not. So this class is designed to, number one, well, work on the inside and then work on the outside, and what I mean by that is these women that we're working with, and even men, but the women group is the one we talk to, these women don't have a personal identity. They don't know who they are, and they have a problem walking up and meeting people and holding a conversation with people because it's just not in their nature anymore. And so I see it with women. I see women come in here. I had a woman several years ago that wanted to lose weight, and it was like three or four sessions that I was into with her, and she still hadn't taken a pound off. And we sat for an hour and a half and just talked about her life and some of the issues she was having, and we got to the bottom of the weight loss, and it was that she thought if she lost weight, she would look better, she would go out with her friends, men would hit on her, she would end up cheating on her husband, and her family would fall apart. So it was this whole big strategy and belief that she had that boiled down to why she kept the weight on, and as soon as we helped her be a confident woman and somebody that could say no, she took the pounds off and she was fine. She was with her husband and everything was great. But she had this whole scenario built up in her mind. So, Mindy, I know exactly what you talk about when you talk about women, you know, in that situation.
The beliefs and values that they have are what drives people to do what they do. And once you get down to that, then you can really find out what's going on.
Well, how did you train? We went through all your paths here, and you came up through, you decided you wanted to be a coach. What was the key thing that made you want to go and be a coach?
I think it was mainly the basic idea of coaching was was more of a positive thing and not going back. Not that therapy is not good, because I've been through it myself and I benefited a lot from it with certain areas of my life that I had to go through. And that is the greatest thing. I mean, if you can't, if you're stuck and you can't get past it, there may be a time that someone needs to go back and check that out, you know, and get things straight in their mind. But then after that, the coaching is such a positive thing, and I really wanted to focus on the positive. I want to move people forward so that they're so excited about their life that they can't stand it, you know. That's where I wanted to spend my day. And being a divorced woman, you know, I needed a profession that I wanted, a profession that I could get up in the morning and say, I cannot believe that I get to get up in the morning and do this. And so coaching just fell into that niche, that those qualifications. And every day that I've been doing it, I've felt like, wow, I can't believe that I get to actually be in someone's corner, help them get to the things that they want to get to, you know, hold them accountable, tell them the truth, and be their confidant, you know, and right. Watch the excitement. It's like watching a fireworks show, you know, and that's what I wanted to be involved in. And I'm sure you've, you know, come across that as well.
I have, and when I first started, there was no such thing as any kind of group that trained somebody in the coaching profession. It just wasn't around.
Mm-hmm.
So the groups mm-hmm. that are around now, like the International Coaching Federation and all the ones that are around, the International Coach Academy, those are fairly new. So when, mm-hmm. how did you decide, because I know we worked together with some hypnotic techniques and some questioning techniques, and then you worked with a few other people, and you and I still bounce ideas off of each other, but how did you decide, how did you decide, number one, how you wanted to be trained, and then after you decided okay. that, how did you decide to choose the institute that you chose?
Right. Good question. I really went on the internet and I did some initial research and just put in coaching, life coaching, and of course a ton of stuff came up. But what actually got me to where I am now is I went to find a governing body that every coaching institute out there was trying to be accredited with. Okay? So I didn't want to have to go through a training program and at the end of it say, well, it's not recognized by the governing body that, you know, governs coaches. I wanted it to be a very viable, very, you know, something that I can be proud of being a part of. And so when I found out about the International Coaching Federation, on their website, they have all the institutes or organizations that are into coaching and whether they're accredited or not. So I just started picking, I narrowed it down to about five based on other criteria. Like I wanted it to be a global institution so I could get cultural exposure as well. I've coached somebody from Portugal, from New Zealand, and it was just such a great experience to be trained and to be in classes with people from all over the world. Because you just get such an education with that, and it took me 18 months to go through it, based on you know having to work full time or whatever you know or whatever comes into your life, that it takes a little time to get through it, but it was well worth it. You can probably make it through in about 12 months.
Okay. That's what I was
if you were doing it pretty much full time, you know.
All right. Well, mm-hmm. you know, when I started, coaching wasn't even a profession yet. So now that it is, what I guess was the training worth it? And what did you learn? I mean, what kind of things did you learn? In a nutshell, what did they teach you?
They teach you the whole business of coaching, from setting up your own business. To all the different power tools that you can, they call them power tools that you can use to change someone's perspective, how to do power questioning, the whole business of coaching, what the ethics are, what you're allowed to do, what you're not allowed to do, the legalities of it, it's better than it's the thing that you would want to do if you were going to be a coach and put your shingle out there, because you want some credibility to your practice and not just put your shingle out and say, I'm a coach now. I mean, although I'm sure that there are people who have previous experience that they, I mean, there's psychologists, there's all lines of occupations that take on coaching, which is, you know, they have that background as well, and that is perfectly okay. They may also want to add that to their curriculum is saying that they have been trained as a professional coach. I mean, I guess it's just up to the individual person. But for me, since I've spent the majority of my life being a mother of four children and raising them and taking care of everyone else, like Lisa Nichols said on her interview the other night on the Passion Network, she said, you know, she didn't have the background either of a college education, and she said, but I live the work. You know, I came up through all the things that I'm trying to help people do. I did it, you know, and that's basically where I'm coming from, is I'm trying to just live the work and be a good example to help other women who've been through divorce, or you know, I was a teen mom and my daughter was a teen mom, and that's part of my coaching practice, is helping teen moms. So you know, as an answer to your question, I guess I kind of went way around the bush, but I just think that it's very important to have that training behind you. Although, if you, like I say, if you in another occupation that you counsel or have therapy or whatever, I'm sure that that's, you know, good as well. You know, so
yeah.
Does that answer your question?
That did answer my questions. Yes. For those of you listening, if you want to contact Mindy, she has a few ways to contact her. One of the best things that you can do is go on her website and kind of read about her and what she does. Her website address is www.imaginethepossibilitiescoaching.com. That's imaginethepossibilitiescoaching.com. That's no spaces, all one word. You can also reach her, I believe if you go to her website, you can click on a link and email her. But if you want her email, it's mindy@imaginethepossibilitiescoaching.com. And if they wanted to call you, what number do you prefer them to call you on, Mindy?
The 614 number would be great.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead and give that.
It's 614-352-3583.
Yeah, just don't call her right now because she's on the radio with me. So wait till we're done with the interview. And the show today is sponsored by the Society of Applied Hypnosis. They actually sponsored the first four shows that we've done. And we had Jeff Richards, the president of the Society of Applied Hypnosis, on air 2 weeks ago. And I am a trainer for them. And I kind of tied myself in with them because of the way that they trained. If you think of the name Applied Hypnosis, that's really what they do. They want to teach you how to do the techniques, but at the same time, they also want you to be able to use them, because there's so many times people go to a training and then they come out of the training and they don't know how to sit in front of a human being and actually use what they learned. And they're uptight about it, they're self-conscious about it, and sometimes they basically just don't know how to do it. So I think the Society of Applied Hypnosis has a really good training program. And as mentioned on previous shows, they do hold their trainers accountable. So if a trainer begins to sign off on certifications with the Society of Applied Hypnosis, that people are that the SAH is starting to get complaints from the hypnotists that these trainers have signed off on, they actually go back on the trainer. And the trainer can lose his license just from putting out people that shouldn't be hypnotists, because, you know, everybody that goes through a hypnosis training they're not coaching and hypnotist material. Maybe they've done it just because they're interested, or they don't have good people skills, and it's not saying that they can't eventually do it. It's just they need more work and they need more classroom time. So if you're looking for a training, or if you're looking for any kind of hypnosis, I recommend calling or logging on to the website of the Society of Applied Hypnosis. Google it, and you'll find all kinds of things about it. and they can recommend you to a good hypnotist. Now, back to Mindy. Mindy, when you were telling us about your training, you said that some of the things that they taught were had to do with ethics. Specifically, some within ethics were things that you could do and things that you could not do. Now, I know with hypnosis, it's kind of a state thing, and so depending on what state you're in the nation, that determines what you can and can't do. And I have pretty much made it a rule for myself that anything that is medical related, so if somebody comes to me for pain control or they have a headache, if even weight loss, smoking, it's not really, it's a habit. But anything that has to do with any kind of medical issue, I'll work on them, but first I get a signed paper from their doctor saying that they're under the doctor's care, I have permission to work on them, and all I'm doing is, with hypnosis, is essentially teaching them to do new things. So what kind of things can you as a coach do, and what kind of things do you try to avoid, and how do you handle those situations?
Yes. One thing that comes to mind as you were asking me that question is the biggest thing, and I've had this come up recently, where someone was really stuck on something, and I couldn't move, we couldn't get past that. And I asked them if they've ever seen a therapist, because they may need the help of a therapist, and that's part of the ethics of a trained coach, is that you're able to recognize when you need to let a client go and to refer them to another professional. And that's, you know, that's just, you know, like you said, you don't want to be practicing therapy, you know, on someone. Also, coaching is not mentoring. It's not, at times you have to step into that little mode. Coaching is moving a person forward and helping them to come upon their own answers. Now, sometimes you'll get people who actually just want you to tell them what to do. That's not typically the coaching. And I've heard professional coaches that were facilitators at the place where I trained, and she would say, "Now, Mindy, I'm taking off my coaching hat now, and I'm putting on my mentor hat." And I appreciated that, because I knew that she was being true to coaching and to giving coaching the appropriate label, because we try very hard not to become something that a coach is not, okay? And right. There are specific guidelines for coaches in the ICF website. It's just the whole thing. I don't have one copy with me here. But there's, you know, specific things that you want to keep in line with, to, especially since it is a very new profession, that we, you know, protect it and so that it can continue to grow and be the thing and the profession that it's meant to be.
Right. Well, you know, I had, when I was talking about the Society of Applied Hypnosis, the big word that stands out there is applied. When I do the trainings with people, I make sure that they can apply what I teach them to human beings. How, most of your coaching was done over the internet and on the telephone, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
How,
I did
how
do
the
face-to-face.
That's what I was going to ask. How do you apply that? How did they, because I know you did, but let the listeners know how that was applied. How could you practice this stuff?
Okay, I'm not sure I understand your question.
Well, the you had to actually, as you were going through your training, practice what you were learning. So how did you find those people? How did you practice it? How did you find people to practice on them? And do you do it over the phone? Do you do it face-to-face? How did you do that?
Yes, it was done by the phone, or if you had people who lived locally that you wanted to become clients, you know, you could also do that. We were required, as far as the training goes, to have outside clients, a certain amount of outside clients, and a certain amount of peer student clients. So we had to go through 12 sessions each, one-hour sessions, and 50% of those had to be over the phone. I think part of that was because a lot of times coaching is done on the phone, so they wanted you to get used to that format. I also did e-coaching, and I am coaching by email or IM, which when somebody didn't have the time to spend a whole entire hour, they would put it in an email or an IM if we were just, you know, we wanted, they were going to be in a busy place or a noisy place or whatever, we could do it over IM. So there's all kinds of ways that coaching can be done, and privately, in groups, workshops, those kinds of things. So, yeah, any one of those venues, it works really well.
All right, I'm gonna ask you these questions, Mindy, and it's not because I don't know the answers, because I want the listeners to hear them come from you. Because, for example, Nikki and I just picked up a client that lives in another state, and we're doing everything over the phone and email and the internet. So we do the coaching, and you know, I have the added benefit of the hypnosis, and I can't do that over the phone. I guess I could, but I don't want to because I can't see the person sitting in front of me. So what I do is coach over the phone, and then I'll upload a hypnosis session onto a website that they can download it and put it on a CD or listen to it on an iPod or some other MP3 player. So that's how I do my coaching over the phone. But people are out there. Some of the listeners are obviously they're familiar with coaching. But for those of you that aren't familiar with coaching, they're probably thinking of what we do as something like a psychiatrist. You go in and lay on a couch and you either talk and the psychiatrist asks questions, and it's not like that. So how can this be done over the phone? I mean, how is this something that can be done over the phone, the internet, email, and stuff like that?
Okay. Well, basically, when you acquire a client, they usually have what they would like to accomplish, okay? So you kind of have an idea of what they're wanting to get to. But then each coaching session, the client usually calls the coach at the specified time. And at the beginning of the call, you kind of do some preliminaries and how their week went and those kinds of things. But then the coach will ask them what is it that you would like to be coached on today? Because no matter what, and I'm sure you found this, Bill, that no matter what the designed plan was of the coaching, life happens. So I've had people who I was supposed to be, the focus was supposed to be mainly on their business or the relationships or whatever, but then something would come into the mix and they would come to the coaching in a dither, you know, scattered and not knowing what to do. Well, what happens then is that you put aside what they originally wanted to focus on, because obviously they can't focus on what they wanted to. And you just ask, but what do you need coaching on today? And then the person feels the safe space to be able to sit there and say, in fact, one example that comes to mind is a person called and said, my husband just found out he has a terminal illness, and I don't know what to do. Now, normally that would fall under a therapeutic session, but at that particular time, you know, that person was her coach, and she said, what do you need from me today? And it may only mean that she needs someone to listen to her for that day, to sort it out, to say, what do I need to do from here? How are you feeling? What are your feelings that are coming up? That's coaching. That takes that person and says, you know, here, this coach is there for you. This coach is here to enable you to get past this. You know, this is something that has come into her life. Now, what do you feel about it? How do you feel about it? What do you think you need to do? What do you think you need to do for yourself? What do you need to do for your children? What do you need to do for your husband? You know, and that's what coaching is. Then maybe the next time that they meet, there might be a little bit of layover on that, or they may just be ready to go on and get back to business. You never know. You know, something may come up and she got a different diagnosis or it looks a lot better and, oh, I'm so glad you were there for me. But that's what coaching is. You know, it's not always, you know, cut and dried and all pretty in a little package. There's a lot of things that come up. And being able to help a person through that and not be their therapeutic person, not be their psychologist, but just say, how do you feel about this? You know, giving them the space, that's what coaching is to give you a safe space to be able to mull things over.
That's good. I want to give the numbers out again. If you want to call in and if you want to ask Mindy a question or if you'd like to ask me a question, if you're in the U.S., you can call 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756. You can also reach us through the bbsradio.com website. You can reach me and Nikki through our website at bill-nikki.com. That's N-I-K-K-I. And then Mindy also has a website, which is imaginethepossibilitiescoaching.com. And I'm sure you can email her with any private questions that you wouldn't like to ask on air, and I'm sure she'd be willing to answer those. That was okay. So yeah, you explained that well about the phone and doing it over the internet. I've heard people, when they think of coaching, they are worried because the coach that they may end up working with does not have the specialty that they need. For example, somebody comes in and they want to improve sales, but the person that they're working with, the coach that they're working with, doesn't know anything about sales. Now, I know the answer to this, Mindy, but I want you to answer it for the listeners. How do you explain that to people? Because it's, you don't have to know anything about sales, because I, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And why is that?
Because the coach is actually trying to find out what you think about it. You're the expert. The client is the expert on anything in their life. So the coach has to have the right questions to ask the person about how they feel about it, what they think. What would be the next step? What do you think you should be doing at this particular time, and what can be left to another time? Just to helping them get a different perspective and different priorities. So the coach doesn't necessarily have to be an expert in that particular field, although some people would like that you had some kind of background and so that you could have that rapport with them and know exactly where they're coming from, like, oh, I can relate to that or whatever. Which I think we kind of had that going on at times too, Bill, in where we would refer people back and forth, you know, because you had more of an expertise in a certain area.
Right. Let's talk about coaching in general. So not about you or me, but talking about coaching.
Okay.
Let's talk about other people. So we had this discussion on the telephone a couple weeks ago, and I, you know, Nikki and I are moving away from the life coaching and the coaching title. And we went back to hypnotists because we run into so many coaches, and this doesn't, you're not grouped in here, Mindy, but I know you've seen them too, but we run into so many coaches that get into coaching because they were downsized from the company, or they just wanted a hobby, or they were at home bored, or it's something that interested them. We have a woman that we went out to lunch with, Nikki and I, that simply wanted to become a coach because she sold her business and she just heard about the profession and she thought she would like it. And they don't have the skills, I feel, that they need to work with people. And I do a lot of training. Nikki and I are beginning to build ourselves as the coach's coach, and we actually give them some tools. Mindy, when I met, you went through a training, but do you ever run into any coaches that basically scare you?
The people that usually would terrify me would be people who are coaches who have all the answers.
Because
in fact, at the beginning of my training, I was going through a divorce, and there were a lot of things going on in my life, and I was just like, oh my, I don't know if I could be a coach because I don't have all the answers. And my coach said to me, well, I don't know about you, but I don't particularly want my coach to have all the answers. And that kind of took me back, and I was like, I guess not. You know, I need some, of course, everyone needs somebody that they can have, that they click with. And that's certainly a big, you know, determining factor on someone getting a coach. And I would encourage people to interview three coaches, you know, to find out who they think will click with them, you know, the best. Because it's all about the client. It's the client's agenda. So, you know, that's basically my thoughts on that, I guess.
I mean, I run into some hypnotists that scare me, and it's my profession. It's just the proper training they've not had, and it's just scary that somebody allows them to work with people. And the coaches I work with, I mean, it's just not the coaching industry. I train social workers, I train psychiatrists, and I've had social workers and psychiatrists sit in front of me. And my degrees are in business and management and marketing. I've been doing hypnosis for about 18 years this month. And so I would say I'm a veteran at it. And my wife tells everybody I'm the best hypnotist in the United States right now. So I got to love her for that. But these social workers, psychiatrists, doctors sit in front of me, and they ask me for my opinion. How would you work with this person? And it surprises me because they've gone through all the training that they went through in college, that it's the simple interpersonal communications that they have with people that they don't have a handle on. And there's coaches out there that are really good. They know what they're doing on paper, but they can't sit in front of somebody and hold a conversation.
Right.
It's scary.
I totally agree. Yeah.
So I'm going to give you a little time to sell yourself, too. Why you? I mean, if they do call three coaches, and one of those coaches are you, why should people work with you as opposed to somebody else?
Well, it would depend on what they would want to be looking for. I mean, my area of expertise or specialty is in empowering women. I am really, really, adamant about helping women and girls to empower themselves. This is a day and age when, I was married for 32 years and I found myself divorced, What do you do after that, And so since I've come from that background, it's just very scary for women out there who have never thought of what they could do if something happened. What if your husband would die? What if, what about teenage girls who are getting out there? What do they need to know? What do they need to empower them? And so that's my main area of expertise or specialty is I've lived through a lot of things. I've been a single mom. I've been I've been married. I've been single. I've been working inside the house. I've been working outside of the home. I've had four children. So, I've gone through a lot of different transitions. I'm now in midlife and looking at the rest of my life. And people who would want to go through and take inventory of, okay, what now, In this next transition, what am I going to be getting into? What do I want to get into? Who am I? Who am I now that the kids have left the house? All those things go through women's minds, and I feel a passion for helping women to get past those issues and to get on with their life, and live the life of their dreams. So I guess that's my little thing is a life design coach is what I kind of call myself. To help women to dream of what they would want their life to look, feel, and sound like, and then to design it to get it. A lot of times throughout my life, people have told me that I couldn't do something, and I've never really believed that. I believe that there are endless possibilities in any given situation, that you should just think of a few and try some. And if that doesn't work, try something else, like Anthony Robbins says. And if that doesn't work, try something else. Try it until it works, So people who, women who want that kind of coaching, call me. I'd love to help you.
Well, you're listening to Hypnotize with Bill and Nikki, which Nikki is under the weather, so it's just Hypnotize with Bill today, and we have Mindy Wallenberg as our guest. And you can reach us at bill-nikki.com. That's bill-nikki, N-I-K-K-I.com. We will throw a link to Mindy's website up on our website under the Be Resourceful section. We'll do that later this evening. But Mindy, if they want to contact you directly, how can they get in touch with you?
They can call me at 614-352-3583, or if they're in Indiana, they could call 812-371-5736, or like you said, you can...
On the internet, it's
www.imaginethepossibilities, that's plural, coaching.com, or Mindy, at imaginethepossibilitiescoaching.com.
All right. Now, I want to get back to you know, just the styles that people coach. And Nikki has a style, and I have a style. I mean, everybody has their own style. And I want to break this down into two groups. I want to break it down into men, and I want to break it down into women. Now, life coaching, it seems it's more predominantly women. Am I wrong about that, or would you agree with that?
Probably predominantly women. Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, Tony Robbins is a big one in it, and then we got, you know, even Dr. Wayne Dyer and those people. They're in the coaching arena. That's what people go to mm-hmm. for. I'm a coach, and I go back to Men Are From Mars and Women Are From Venus, that old book by John Gray. And
right.
he says that women like to talk, and they just want to listen to. And men, when women talk to men, men are in that mode that they want to fix things. And so I know when a client comes in to my office, and they came in and they, for example, we just to give you a specific example, we have a woman that we're working with that is was very depressed. We've worked with her a few times, and she's a whole lot better now. She was referred over to us by a psychiatrist. She had gone through three other psychiatrists, a couple social workers. She went to a group therapy workshop that was extended inside of one of the psychiatric hospitals. And she was finally, by her last psychiatrist, referred over to Nikki and I. And by the time we get them, it's a last resort. So we see some people that they're at their wit's end. So they came in here, and Nikki was listening to her and agreeing with her and stuff like that. And then when it was my turn to talk, I told her to sit back for a spell, close her eyes, and I just want to speak to her unconscious mind because I'm in that mode. I want to fix things. So when a person is interviewing coaches, I know it's a lot to do with the interpersonal communication style, but do you do a lot of listening? Do you? And I know you said before you try not to tell people what to do. You just find out what they want and you try to guide them in the right direction. But what should people be, if you were looking for a coach, what should people be looking for in terms of style?
Well, I guess it would be, if it depends on what you're looking for in a coach. Do you need a cheerleader? Do you need someone to just vent to so that you can bounce ideas off of them? Do you need direction? It just depends on what you're needing at the time. And then the coach will take your cue and say to you, you know, what needs to be said. It just depends on what the client would need. If you're one of those people that are energized by other energetic people, you would definitely want to get an energetic coach. If you need, as far as myself, I am pretty high energy. So my coach, she thought that she wasn't going to be a good coach for me because she was a quiet enthuser. But I told her, I said, you know what? You are perfect for me because sometimes I get so excited that I just kind of spin off somewhere. And she was such a quiet, I guess, person that can kind of bring me back down, you know, and say, okay, Mindy, one thing at a time now, you know. I tend to be the real big cheerleader and I get excited really easily. So I guess that's what I would say is that, you know, you look at yourself and say, what kind of coach do I need? And go shopping for that type of personality match.
So when those people are out there shopping for a coach, how do they, I mean, if you said it yourself, when you were first getting into the coaching profession, you Googled them and looked on the internet and all kinds of things came up. And that's what mm-hmm. people are going to find when they Google life coaches or whatever coach they're looking for. What kind of questions should people ask? What do you recommend? What should they be looking for when they're talking to somebody?
Well, most people want to know if, you know, I guess some of the credentials, although a lot of times people don't even ask that because most people just want to know, here's my problem or this is my situation, and do you have a solution for that? Or do you have a way of helping me find the solution for that? And for me personally, I would want a coach that has some experience in the area that I wanted to coach in. You know what I mean? So, like
right.
for you, if I would want a coach for sales, I would want a person who specializes in sales coaching. If I was going to be talking about relationships, you know, I would want a relationship coach. So I think people can put those particular keywords into the internet to find somebody, but I would look on their website and read about them and find out what makes them tick, you know, what kind of coach they are. And then maybe do, and a lot of coaches offer free complimentary sessions. I do that. I mean, I just want to make sure that the person that comes to me gets at least a 30 to 60 minute trial session to see if we're going to click, you know, to go over what they actually want to accomplish, what I can do for them, what kind of coach I am, what they're expecting. And then if things click and things are going, clicking along pretty good, then ask them, you know, do you feel that the coaching would be good for you? You know, so I personally would encourage people to interview some people, the coaches, and see what's best for them.
Now, we had, Mindy and I we shot some emails back and forth, I think yesterday, in regards to prices. Not what the prices should be, but that I have prices listed on my website, Nikki and I do. And when people call me, I'm a lot of money. I charge a lot, and people pay it. And I tell people you get what you pay for. And Mindy, I know you're good. I've talked to Mindy a couple of times, but whenever I need a coach, Mindy's going to be the one that I call. And if other people are calling you, or other coaches, I guess, I know the answer to this, but again, I want you to answer it. When is it enough? How much coaching does somebody need? How do you determine that? And how can somebody determine if they're working with a coach now, or if they find one in the future and they work with them? What is too long? How do they know when they're not accomplishing what they need to accomplish?
That's a good question. I would say that usually it takes a good at least 3 months to be able to get something accomplished. Although it doesn't really take that long for some people. I would personally rather have a shorter period of time to help someone reach their goal, but then they could come up with other specific things that they would want to work on that have nothing to do with the first intended coaching topic. So, you know, it's up to the person, and actually I tend to agree with you, Bill, in this aspect that people who come for coaching should actually be ready to coach. If people who are not ready for coaching are people who are not ready to move on and to accomplish something that they want to accomplish. People who aren't ready for that are probably needing therapy before they come for coaching. Coaching is for people who know that something's got to change, that they could change it, and that it can be done. And once they've hit that mark, and I've seen it, the look on people's faces when that is a reality, when they look at themselves and they go, okay, something's got to change, and it's got to change now. You know, they're ready to go. They're ready to coach. And that's the most exciting part of coaching, is when someone has hit that mark and they're like, I've got to do it now, and I want you to help me. You know?
One of the things I ask people when they come, when they contact us, and one of the things I ask people is, if I ask you to go to the middle of your local mall, lay down on the floor on your back, and stay there for a half hour, are you willing to do it if I ask you to do that? And if they say yes, then I know that what they want to do is a must, because that's the point they need to be at, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And
right.
So it's now. Yeah, so it's a lot of people. Well, you know, I keep thinking back to clients that I have, and they call me for smoking. My wife wants me to stop smoking, or my husband wants me to lose weight. If you're doing it for somebody else, you know, don't do it for somebody else. You need to do it for yourself. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's definitely the case. And you actually, you need to do things for the right reasons for you. Okay, let me give you just a quick example. I've had on my list for quite some time to have a regular exercise program. And I know that I need to do it every single day, but for some reason I just don't do it. Well, for this past week I was playing the values game with myself again, and I have realized that I can be pretty healthy. I've been pretty healthy most of my life. I don't have a weight problem. So getting on a regular exercise program, other than the picture of having better health, would be the only reason why I would want to do it. You know, I mean, I'm sure there's women out there who really don't like to sweat and to get into it and that kind of thing. I know there's people who love that, but for me, it wasn't exactly what I wanted to do. It wasn't until I did my values game that I came upon the value of order. And I thought to myself, I play this little game with my clients, and I thought to myself, okay, what can I use as one of my values to make me exercise every day? And it came to mind that I want my body and my surroundings to be in order. So that was the only reason I could think of for me to actually get up in the morning and exercise every day.
Wow.
But it does.
Okay. All right, so Mindy, what are some of your, I see on your website that you have Deepak Chopra's website up, and you have Dr. Wayne Dyer, you have their link on your website, but who are some of your mentors?
Cheryl Richardson comes to mind, really, I just love her. I love the way, especially her book, Touches of Grace. The nuances that you might get every now and then to get on the right path. Let's see. Bill, you're one.
Thank you.
No, Louise Hay is another one of mine. There's so many. I just can't even tell you. Wayne Dyer has certainly been a big part of my life. The gentleman that wrote The Four Agreements, I love that book. Like I said, I probably have most of the books that that have been written out there about coaching or self-improvement. So, yes, I've had a lot of people who have influenced me and have made touched my heart about the area of coaching or self-improvement and personal power. Anthony Robbins is another one that I was listening to this morning, as a matter of fact.
Well, here's a question for you. What do you want to be remembered for?
Oh, that's another good question. On my 100th birthday, I would like people to say, Mindy lived the life that she always wanted to live, and she gave it her all. And she laughed and loved every minute of it. That's what I want to be remembered for.
Well, that's a good thing. So if just to wrap things up here in the next couple minutes, again, I'm going to throw Mindy's website up on our website, which is bill-nikki.com, N-I-K-K-I.com. And it'll be under the Be Resourceful, I believe is what it is. Let me take a look here on the internet. I can't remember my own website. Be Resourceful section of the website. And so give me a day or so to get that up there. But if they want to contact you directly through your website or on the telephone, Mindy, how do they do that?
They would call 614-352-3583. Or in Indiana, it's 812-371-5736. Or Mindy at imaginethepossibilitiescoaching.com.
And that's all also your website, right? ImagineThePossibilitiesCoaching.com?
Exactly.
All right. So do you have hours or can they call anytime? Because people are listening all over the world here.
I'm sorry?
I said, do you have hours or can people call at any time?
Oh, they can certainly call any time if I'm not able to answer at that particular time. Maybe I'm sleeping or something. I will get back to them within 24 hours.
Sounds good. And they can drop me an email anytime. And,
exactly.
So, and again, today's show is sponsored by the Society of Applied Hypnosis. Again, I'm a trainer for them. And if you need a referral for specifically for a hypnotist, I would Google the Society of Applied Hypnosis and either give them a call or email them, or they have some trainers listed on the website. Call a trainer. Maybe even there's a trainer in your area that could work with you personally. And if you're interested in maybe learning how to hypnotize people, or if you want to stop smoking or lose weight or some other things, just give them a call and let them know. Again, we've been talking to Mindy Wallenberg, and she can be reached at imaginethepossibilitiescoaching.com. You can email her. Her actual email link is on her website, or you can do it directly at mindy@imaginethepossibilitiescoaching.com. So I want to thank Mindy. Thanks for being our guest on the show today.
Oh, well, thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
Hey, no problem. And hopefully next week we'll get Nikki back up and running without any. She had a migraine today, so we'll get that up there. Again, Mindy, thanks for being on the show. And we will see you guys next Tuesday at 5 o'clock Eastern Standard Time and 2 to 3 o'clock Pacific Time. Thanks a lot, Mindy.
Thank you, Bill. Bye-bye.